Hello and welcome back to the Catholic Bible Pod with Mon. I'm Monica, your host, and I'm so excited to be introducing this episode 4, my first episode with a guest on the show. And the guest is actually my mom. I'm so excited to introduce her to you and her knowledge and love for the Jesse Tree. However, I wanted to take a brief moment at the beginning just to say sorry. The audio is a little bit wonky on this episode. It's our first one doing a guest interview and my microphone gets a little spotty and fuzzy. So that is going to be fixed for the future episodes. So thank you so much for your patience and bearing with the funny audio of this episode. I hope you enjoy. Thanks.
Thank you very much for having me, Monica. What a joyful experience this is going to be, right? This can be so much fun.
So much fun. So thank you. I'm calling in the expert to talk about this topic today because my mom is the liturgical living queen. Oh. If you know her, you already know that she literally knows how to make any season of the liturgical calendar come to life. She homeschooled all 7 of us kids. She's just the most creative person ever. And today she's going to share a little bit of her secrets. I don't know if they're secrets, but a sneak peek into her life in the Jesse Tree. So the Jesse Tree might be a very familiar concept to some of you guys, or maybe you're listening and you're like, the Jesse Tree. So we're going to start from the beginning and talk about what the Jesse Tree is and how my mom did it and, you know, all the different stories throughout. So mom, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and can you tell us a little bit about your relationship with the Jesse Tree?
Absolutely. I had the privilege of growing up in a very Catholic household myself with a mother who was very creative and who lived the faith lively in our house as well. And one of the things that we always did was at Advent time, we always did the Jesse Tree. And it's funny because her Jesse Tree symbols were very plain and simple, very plain and simple, but they were impactful. I remember with great fondness the evenings after dinner that we would do the little Jesse Tree symbol of the day. And my mother was a great storyteller and she'd tell the story, even though her symbols were very simple. They were little cardboard, three-dimensional cardboard things that were, they're snapped together. She got it out of some sort of little old box. This is back in the 1970s. And she hung them on a bare branch from the ceiling over our kitchen table. And the symbols were very simple, but it was the stories. And we had a blast doing it every year. And then as we got older, we had the privilege of, you know, my mom would say, now you tell the story, you tell the story. And I think she was assessing, you know, were we getting the stories and stuff. So, but it was fun. It was like, everyone wanted a chance to tell the story that went along with the symbol. So I could not wait to get it started with you kids. I thought this was something that every Catholic grew up with. It wasn't until I got older that I realized, oh, I had this unique opportunity and in my house because my mother just did this type of thing, and that this was something that was kind of unique. Now, that being said, I think there's been a rebirth of the Jesse Tree. Certainly, there's been a big rebirth, and not even in the Catholic faith, but I've also found just Christian households have embraced this beautiful. It's a Catholic tradition. There's a lot more out there to choose from now. Yeah.
It's so biblical. So it's very cool that it makes sense that it's Christian and Catholic. Okay, wait. So backing up just a second, could you just explain the concept of what the Jesse Tree is and why is it called the Jesse Tree to anybody who may not know?
All right. So apparently the whole Jesse Tree tradition starts back in the medieval times when people were illiterate. And so this is a way of teaching the story of salvation history in a very tactile way. And so apparently in some old churches in Europe, of course, I haven't been to these churches, but there's a beautiful stained glass window in the Chartres Cathedral in France, for example. It's called the Jesse Tree window. There's also paintings, sacred art paintings called the Jesse Tree in different European churches. Again, I've never seen those, but what they show is that they'll show salvation history. Sometimes they're very weird. They have they have Jesse, the man Jesse, David's dad, lying on the ground, and then a tree coming from his heart, and then figures.
Wait, what?
Yeah, figures coming out of it, and things like that. But it comes from the Book of Isaiah.
Isaiah prophecy.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Saying that from
Isaiah 11:1.
Very good. Which it says that from the stump, from Jesse's stump is going to grow this tree of life, basically. And Jesse is the father, we don't really know too much about him, but he's the father of David. And of course, we know from the biblical prophecies that David was given the covenant in which he was promised that from his family was going to come the Messiah. And so then we also have the biblical lineages at the beginning of the Gospels of Matthew and of Luke, and they take us from the fall to the birth of Jesus. And so the Jesse tree is like a tactile visual aid to kind of walk through salvation history. But you don't have to do it. There's many, many, many ways of doing it. But that's the skinny of what the Jesse tree is.
Yes. Okay. Yes. I love it. And generally speaking, at least in most kind of traditions, it is done in a visual tree.
Yes.
My Nana did like the tree, like a physical branch, I guess.
Yes.
Physically hanging.
A dead branch. Yes.
Drawn tree. Okay. Yeah. We had a drawn tree and we taped them on.
Yes.
Or like I've heard people do, like it's almost like the Christmas tree before the Christmas tree.
Yes.
They put the Jesse tree ornaments on there. So it's like there's a tree visually there. It's all because of the stump of Jesse prophecy. Now, I'm going to ask you a kind of more of a science question, because I know that you also know you're a science teacher as well. This is going to sound very dumb, so I apologize. But is it true that generally when a tree is cut down to the stump, nothing grows from that tree? Like that is it's a dead tree at this point? Like a shoot springing from the tree and the tree regrowing is kind of an unusual concept?
That's an unusual concept, right? Exactly. So when you're talking about a stump, unless it's it's not, the idea is to when you cut a tree down is to stop it from growing, and you need leaves, you need photosynthesis,
right?
You need, you know, so with the stump.
Okay. I thought so. It's not just that it's from Jesse's line, it's that it's from the remnant of Jesse's line.
Yes.
That Jesse's line is like awesome David and Solomon, and then it's like gets cut off during the exile and the kings have to kind of go underground. So it's from the remnant line. Joseph the carpenter, who is like unknown, he's not royalty at the time of, you know, when he comes on the scene in Nazareth. And so it's really, it's an odd prophecy too.
It's an odd prophecy.
A dead stump is a new shoot coming. Yeah, but that's Jesus's story. So okay, cool. So tell us a little bit about, when did you start it? How many kids did you have? What ages? When did it start working?
Tell
us about this.
I couldn't wait to get it started, right? But I didn't really start it until Molly was four. And when we were living in this house here, which would have been when you were just a few months old and Kathleen was like two. But I thought, Molly, she's four and a half. She's old enough to start learning these stories. And when we moved into this house, there were no trees. There were no trees. And the little trees that we had, Dad would not let me cut a branch off the tree. I'm like, this is like, no, these are baby trees. You can't cut a branch off the tree. And I was like, oh, how am I going to get a branch? You know, so that's where, you know,
like I'm going to cut a neighbor's tree down.
And there were even, and this whole neighborhood was all like, you know, a meadow beforehand or something. So anyways, so I just took a piece of butcher paper and I put it, you know, I put it on the kitchen door, and then I just drew, you know, the streaky little dead tree, basically. And I just drew it on a marker. And then I had no funds and I had, you know, nothing. I had nothing except for construction paper and markers and stuff. So you remember that the little symbols that I made were all just made out of drawing, my hand drawing. And then I mounted it on a piece of construction paper, a little disc. And then eventually when I got a laminator, I laminated them. And then we would tape them on. And then as we got a little more advanced in things, then I put a hole punch in, I put a little string around them. And then then I could cut a branch from a tree. That was several years later. But, and then by that time, people were actually like, other Catholic friends of mine they were buying miniature trees and putting the Jesse tree symbols on miniature trees. Like my sister, she started doing her Jesse tree on a little green tree. But I told her, no, it's not supposed to be on a green tree. It's supposed to be on a dead tree. It's supposed to be on, that's the idea.
Stump.
It's supposed to be on a dead, like, because he's going to be bringing life to this dead tree. It's supposed to be very branchy and very dead. And so that it's the idea that the tree of life was destroyed by original sin, and we're going to have a new tree of life that's going to be the cross. But in the meantime, that tree of life is kind of dead. So then you, so you're,
wait, that's a really, that's a cool point.
So that's why it's not supposed to be, I mean, I'm correcting people out there, but it's not supposed to be on that little miniature evergreen tree that people do. If anything, you can do like branches, like a little branch, like a dead tree sticking in a flower pot. That's okay. But,
okay. All right. That, but don't do the Christmas tree beforehand, really, because that's too green.
It's too green. And that's
all right. Well, all right. Now that's good information.
that would be my suggestion. If you want to really be authentic about it, I guess. But again, there's
and really lean into the symbolism.
Yeah. If you really lean into what the whole meaning of it is. And that's the other thing, is that there's lots of different ways you can do the symbols too.
Yeah, okay, that leads me to another question. How did you choose which ones you were going to put in? Because you don't have to put all the characters.
Right.
Generally you think it's the bloodline, but then there's people like Moses who are not in the bloodline that you still include.
Right. And so that's what I didn't do, the bloodline version. Yeah, the ones that are the medieval ones were truly a bloodline following. Like if you go to the sacred art that's in the cathedrals and stuff in the middle, they definitely have the persons that are labeled from the Gospel of Luke and the Gospel of Matthew. Like they're following the people. And when my mother taught us, she told us that this is supposed to be the genealogy of Jesus. We're supposed to be learning the genealogy of Jesus. But to be honest with you, even she, her symbols were more events rather than people. And the events, the events really spoke to a child, I think. That's the thing, I think, because the events, without putting it in the context of salvation history, the goal, it depends on what you want to teach. I wanted you guys to know what the story of salvation history. This is our family story. So I want you to know, I want you to know everything from, like, we started off with Adam and Eve every year with the original sin. And then we would go to Noah, but we didn't do like the Tower of Babylon, for example. And we skipped to Noah. Sure. Then for Moses, we chose a couple events. We chose the burning bush, if you can remember.
Yep.
And we chose the Ten Commandments.
Yep.
But we didn't do we didn't do the plagues. We didn't do the parting of the Red Sea. We didn't even do the wandering the deserts. We didn't even do the Ark of the Covenant. We went from to like Joshua and the big horn, you know, like they're entering into the promised land. So it was like highlights, just because you only have 24 days. So
yes. Okay. That's what I was going to ask too. Cause you only have 24 days because you're doing one per day is kind of the idea, is that it's a tradition to do all together at the same time every day, maybe after dinner. That's when we did it. But you know, whenever the family's together. Okay. So then when, you know, this does connect to Advent, I would say, in a pretty straightforward way, because, you know, you're looking at who is leading up to Jesus. But can you tell me a little bit about, do you know, like, the origins? Was it meant to be an Advent tradition? Why Advent? Because isn't Advent about preparing for the second coming of Jesus? But then also it's preparing for Christmas. So would you tell me a little bit about that?
Yes, that's exactly it is an Advent. It is an Advent thing, because the church asks us to go back and like, look at, why do we need a savior? Mm. Why? I mean, if you don't know that you need a savior, then you don't know the importance of Jesus Christ, and you don't have any value for him. So you have to go back and look back and see also just the incredible plan that God had, that we were never forgotten. Mm. So from the moment of the fall, God puts forth this plan and unfolds it step by step with such intention, and we were never forgotten. And then your original episode, then it follows that path of that cycle of the sin and the faithlessness and the faithfulness of God, and it just goes over and over the Old Testament, God's amazing faithfulness and man's hard heart over and over again.
Yeah.
But and in that way, we see that God has been reaching out to man since the fall. He's been reaching out over and over again, and his love for us is so incredible. So then, but it only, I mean, the Jesse tree just literally, it brings you up to the birth of Christ. It doesn't bring through all salvation history. It just brings you there's a morning star, you know, there he's, he, it's, The invasion has happened. God has become man. That's where it kind of like you end the Jesse tree.
Yes.
And yet salvation obviously doesn't come until, you know.
Yes, until the cross.
The act of redemption. Right. Right. And that isn't even covered on the Jesse tree. So it truly is an Advent. Advent tradition. And also, like you said, the church is asking us during Advent to not just prepare for the second coming of Christ, true, but preparing us in terms of helping us remember the story that we're part of, the story that is much bigger than we are, but this amazing story that has been unfolding for thousands of years for our benefit, you know?
Yeah, heck yeah.
So it's a time of gratitude, a time of grounding ourselves, you know. Remember, we're not just preparing for Christmas. That's the other thing. For children, it's really hard. They're preparing for Christmas. Mm-hmm. But remember, for adults, we're preparing for the second coming of Christ.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like you graduate into, it's like math. You get to imaginary numbers eventually, but you start out with the basics. It's like the most simplest thing about Advent is that it's a countdown to Christmas, right? And it is. It's the season before Christmas. So it's a great place to start is like, well, why is it important Jesus is coming? And who said that Jesus is coming? And who is Jesus? You know, and all the salvation history. But then, yeah, I do think that's important. And I remember kind of being a little bit like blindsided by that in high school, being like, wait, Advent's actually about the second coming? What? I thought it was like, why are all the mass readings actually warnings and sad and about like death? It's like, yeah, because actually Advent is also secondly about Jesus is coming back. So prepare yourself again, you know, the type of thing.
Yes. It's a penitential season. Advent should be a penitential season. And especially if we consider the second coming of Christ, you know, that's heavy.
Yeah.
That's heavy stuff.
Yeah, seriously.
and it's the world is in darkness during Advent. It's a dark season of the year. Mm-hmm. But for children who are anticipating Christmas, the Jesse tree is just basically, it's laying down that love story. Yeah. That love story that, you know, God just never gave up on us. And what an amazing thought that is,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. I know that some of my love for the Bible really is rooted in the Jesse tree tradition. I really do remember. It's funny you said that same thing, but I remember sitting at the kitchen table. I've got two older sisters who knew the Bible stories before I did, you know, because I'm younger. And I remember sitting there, like, looking at the symbols that I didn't know and mom giving the symbol to, who knows this story? And I'm like, I don't know that one. This is so dumb. I want to skip this day. I can't wait for tomorrow because I know that one. Like, I want to say it. Or like, I specifically remember the marker drawings were on one side and then you flip it over and the name was on the other. And I'd like quiz myself after dinner, like, which one is this? Who the heck is Elijah? I've never even heard of Elijah. You know, like, why can't I remember this guy? So like, seriously, there's a little bit of competition in there, but also it's like, it really did. I would point back and say that really did set a huge foundation for a biblical love in my life. But I guess from the perspective of a mom with seven kids around the table, how did it go for you?
No, I loved it. I could not wait to take it out every year. I thought it was so cute. Your enthusiasm everyone's enthusiasm for it was very positive. And just to review those stories, to go through and retell those stories, which I think were just a riot. I don't know if you remember, we had two lions on the tree. One was for Judah.
And one was for Daniel in the lion's den.
Daniel in the lion's den. Right, exactly. And no one could remember Judah. No one could remember Judah, which is so sad. It's like, why don't you remember Judah? That dude, he's a lion. But
well, he didn't actually
everyone wanted
see
to tell
a lion.
Daniel in the lion's
he didn't talk
story.
To a lion. He didn't get eaten by it. He just roars like a lion. It's different.
Yeah, isn't that funny? But yes, so how did I choose the stories? You had asked that question. I'm sorry, I got off track. But so ours was more event driven, I think.
Okay, yeah.
I put Judah on there to remember that. All right, so because we had Jacob and we had the Jacob's ladder, and then we mentioned Joseph because he is the favorite son and how they got over them to over Egypt and stuff. But I wanted you guys to know that we came through Judah's line. So that's why Judah's on there as a lion. Or so
shout out.
I would, you know, but mostly it was events. That's what, it was more events and less people.
Yeah.
And it was hard for me to decide when I was trying to decide who to do. I didn't have my mother's model.
Sure.
She couldn't find it. And I said, I couldn't remember. So, and I went looking for Jesse trees and literally like in the 90s, the late 1990s, which is when I was going to be doing this. This is, so 1996 would have been the first year I did it,
wow. You know,
my little paper thing. And the Jesse tree wasn't really easy to find. Now, wow. Like, you know,
that's different.
20
yeah.
years later, it's like books and websites.
Yeah, I was going to say, you just Google Etsy Jesse tree. And you'll find 20 different options, magnets and stickers and colors.
Yes,
and,
yes, yeah. yes. There's so much to choose from. Now, it was interesting for me to listen to you on your first episode to say that you had gotten the stories, but you didn't see the connection.
I know.
That's
sorry.
Interesting. Interesting to me. No, interesting to me because as a mother, I'm teaching, that's really, that's good perspective, good hindsight for me to think, oh, maybe I should have done it a little bit differently to kind of, I let you guys tell the stories as you got older, but maybe we should have done some weaving it together. It's funny because, of course, number seven.
The youngest, yeah.
He was deprived because
oh,
I
he didn't do the Jesse tree.
He's like, I don't know these stories. Oh. He was so busy listening that I never gave him a chance to practice.
Oh, and so telling the stories.
Yeah, so his experience with the Jesse tree is a little bit like, I remember everybody knowing everything and I didn't know anything. Oh. I thought, oh, so sad.
So word of warning to the youngest of the family, take care of your yes. youngest. Make sure they get to do the Jesse tree.
Exactly.
Wait, that's so funny.
Because by the time you guys were like bored with it, you're just not bored with it, but you were just like, yeah, mom, come on. Like, we know all these stories.
Hey, give us some hard ones. Give us the Rubabelle. Right.
And meanwhile, he's over there going, I don't know who Hezekiah is.
Right, for sure.
Why is this? Why are these tears on here? And what's up with this? Do you remember how I had this one very bad symbol? It was a veil. It was supposed to be Leah.
Oh,
you know, the veil
yes.
With the eyes.
Yes, yes, yes.
But nobody can understand my drawing because you're just like, what is this picture?
It's a beard.
Like, a beard. Everyone thought it was
the bearded lady. I do remember the eyes. They were like very almond eyes. Very
yes,
you know?
Almond girl. They're supposed to look like women, very sexy little
yes,
women eyes.
You yes.
know, for Leah, she's so pretty. But then her face is veiled. And so anyways.
It's hilarious.
So I would say that hand drawing the symbols were not the it wasn't the best thing for me to do, but it was what
artistry
I had resources
for. Artistry doesn't run in the
for.
Family.
No. Well, some of you can do great things, but I was doing what I had with the resources I had. Now they have these amazing things. They have these Jesse tree ornament parties, and I would recommend those where you get together with a bunch of your friends and you go ahead and like everybody divides up the work. So let's say that you have 12 women in your group or whatever, and so then everybody chooses like two dates and they make two ornaments, but they make 12 of them or whatever. So they're making.
Oh, cool.
And then you do an ornament exchange. You all get together and you can make them from any medium, everything from felt to wood to paper to origami to. Oh, yeah. I've seen amazing Jesse trees from the younger generation.
That's really clever.
That I literally like drool over.
Okay. Well, take note of that. An Advent Jesse tree. Don't do a book exchange. Don't do a Secret Santa. Do a Jesse tree Advent ornament exchange. I mean, how's that for
yes.
serious Advent liturgical living? I really like that, though. That's cool. Yeah.
I think it would be a lot of fun. If I was to do it over again, I would totally do that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So this is fun. I think that the point of the Jesse tree is, for children at least, is to introduce, right? It's to introduce.
Yes.
So I honestly do think it seriously worked in our family. Like, even if I didn't know all the cartilage of it, I knew the bones, right? I knew what was going on enough to really have a delightful surprise when I was adult to be like, oh my gosh, these things connect. It's very fun to learn things, to layer your learning, in my opinion, as an adult, to be like, oh my gosh, I knew pieces of this and now I know the whole story. It's very exciting, right? So honestly, major win. But if you're speaking right now to an adult who is starting this tradition, right, who's not a child, do you have any words of advice for, you know, maybe they don't even have any children at all. Maybe they're just trying to kind of enter into Advent in a different way. How would you advise them to approach it? Would you still say do something tangible? Get out a little, you know, tree. Make yourself a set. Would you say do it more like drawing it yourself? What would you say?
Beautiful. I would definitely, number one, yes, during Advent, doing a Jesse tree is a very good liturgical living, and it's very, whatever you do tactily, you'll remember better. Mm-hmm. It's not just reading the stories, but actually having that little symbol. It's just a known fact about human intellect is that if we actually draw it or create something to go with it, or even if you like, there's sets online that you can actually print out and just color. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could, but the going into the Bible and revisiting the story and reacquainting yourself with the story, that's very fruitful, very fruitful. I think it's a very good reminder of, again, that incredible story that we call salvation history. It's like the Old Testament is just amazing. Such odd stories, odd, weird stories, but also such incredible stories of his hand doing amazing things to show humanity that he is trustworthy and I've got this and it's going to work out and I've got a plan. And I think that sometimes in the world of chaos and you think, you know, you even hear things like, you know, you believe in this God up in the sky and things like that. It's like, yeah, there's a reason why I do believe, because he's worthy of my trust. He's worthy of my faith. And these stories from salvation history, I mean, there's way too many just to have 24 or 25. But
you need a rotation. Good starting point. Years A, B, and C of the Jesse tree.
Yes, you almost do, Monica. That's a really good idea, because it's a really good idea, because going back in those stories, I think, it's a great spiritual exercise during Advent, and it's very doable. 25 days, and taking time out and like diving in. All the stories are short. It's not like you're reading paragraphs and paragraphs. You're just reading about an incident, or you're reading about a person.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Jesse Tree, two thumbs up, any age.
Love
any
it.
Age. But yes, in terms of making it tactile, if you'd like to sketch,
the drawing,
if you'd like
you
to
said.
Color.
Yeah. The coloring sheets. I mean, just something that is prayerful. Though Jesse Tree does not have to be your daily prayer of the day. It can just be an exercise you do in addition, you know,
agreed.
Little, you know. But it could be. You could be the source of your prayer, too.
But literally, the other thing is, because of online, it's so crazy, is that literally, let's say that you don't have the ability to make a little symbol or something like that. Literally, there's coloring sheets for every story in the Bible. I mean, free, online.
Yeah.
And so, like, let's say that you, or I don't know, just, they don't have to be fancy, but I do think something tactile is very beautiful.
Yeah, totally.
I think it's,
I think reading, if you're an adult, reading from the primary source as well is a big deal too. Is reading it and saying, okay, here it is. And now to explain it in my own words, amazing to paraphrase it, to be able to say I learned it. But yeah, to the difference between hearing the oral tradition and then reading the primary text is like, in my opinion, a pretty important step to take eventually when you're kind of learning the Bible. But obviously for children, we just tell the stories because it's also, this is how it was passed along, oral tradition. So we're kind of participating in our heritage.
That's right.
Okay, let me throw a curveball question at you to close here, if you don't mind. Looking forward to Advent. I know this is not Advent yet, but how do you plan to pray during Advent this year?
Oh gosh, I have to think about that one. That is a curveball for me. I always start with the St. Andrew's Novena, and that's and I try to think of what my prayer intention I'm going to carry through to bring to the crib on Christmas night. But so I always start with the St. Andrew's Novena, and then because I do Bethlehem Walk, which is another whole thing, that isn't that's an event in itself that it's I'm working as I'm preparing and trying to make that event. So that's another whole part of me. I will probably, because you guys don't have me, I'll bring out that Jesse tree, and I will probably be doing some version of it with Dad. He'll have to listen to it.
Yes. Quiz him this year. How much have you learned?
But the other thing that I have this year, a dear friend of me gave me Father Ricardo's The Rescue.
Yeah, you know, the rescue
okay.
stuff.
He has an Advent book,
and I have
it in my position. I'm in my possession, and I haven't cracked it open. I have it there. It's on the shelf. It's going to be my Advent manual, my tool for Advent this year.
I'm
looking forward to doing that. And I, you know, I'm sure it's going to be a Jesse Tree type of
right.
Because
it's salvation history. Yeah, it's the
story
of how we got rescued.
He's going to bring us. Yep. I'm doing consecration to Blessed Mother on December the 8th. I've got that. I'm online. I'm working on that right now.
Let's go. So, I remember you gave me at one point The Read of God by Carol Hauslander.
Yes.
I feel like I read that every Advent. That's a good one.
So good.
I feel like that's good.
That's a good one. I love that. That's very, very good. And also just trying to remember that, especially now that you guys are out of the house and it's just me and Dad, we have to be really practice that penitential season well. You know, we're old enough and we don't have like parties and kids that are like, you know, hankering for all kinds of celebrations.
Some gingerbread on St. Nick's Day. Coins in the shoe.
Well, there's so much and I mean you and I can talk about that.
I know that is a whole nother thing.
But yes, there's almost every day there's something beautiful to do
to
glorify God and bring the faith to life in a fun way.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful season.
It is. It really is. I know it's hard to be penitential when every other day is a feast day. You're like, wow, exactly. So much penance. Like, thanks, Lucy. Thanks, you know, Guadalupe for saving me from fasting. Woo!
It was hard in the house, right? It's like, okay, now we got Juan Diego. Now we got Lucy. Now we got Lady of Guadalupe. Now we've got, they're all together. It's Nicholas, you know, let's not forget Nicholas. Everything. Yeah. So, but without you guys in the home, we'll have to try to be more penitential. Yikes.
Oh, maybe we'll come early with gingerbread. Just kidding. Well, Mom, thank you seriously so much for being on my first guest. I'm so excited. And thank you, too, for teaching us so much, teaching me literally about the Jesse tree my whole life, but then also teaching, you know, my follower, my listeners, whoever. So thank you. I want to close with just an invitation. If you haven't checked out my site, www.thecatholicbibleclasswithmon.com, I did just come out with an Advent prayer companion this week on the 15th. And so go check that out. If you are looking for a way to walk through Advent with the Jesse tree, it is a day by day, meditation, reflection, study of each of the bloodline characters. It's following the genealogy of Matthew, which if you go to Easter Vigil this year, it is the gospel. And it'd be fun to see how many of the names you actually recognize by the end of Advent. So whether or not you're going to check it out from me or from somebody else, I really recommend you taking the Jesse tree to heart and trying it out this Advent. Either way, have a great time planning your Advent. It's time to start planning. It's in just a few weeks here. And to make the most of it, it's good to look ahead. So thanks so much for joining me today. Have a great day. See you next time. Bye.